he do it again? Mike Bibby. Bibby stops, pops, scores! Bibby, good hero, again!
Gets a touch, and he helps out.
Oh, that is a man's jam! DeMarcus Cousins nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the King's Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the King's Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and joining me today, making his King's Court debut, the one and only, aka Snotty Drippin', James Hollis. James, how you doing?
What up, bro? How you doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate it. I keep going with the beat, though. I'll add a little background to it. I'm just kidding. Don't do it.
All right, don't get me started. Do you know what beat that is? I'll say the song when we're done here. That's that old Nori song.
It's gonna go over my head. I'm not that good at music.
Nah, it don't matter. I'm gonna send you the song full mode. I'll send you a video of it or something, so you can wash in that greatness.
Hey, I'm part Filipino, man. So we do a lot of karaoke. So if you want to do karaoke on this show, I'll definitely let you. I'm not gonna stop you by any means.
I'll wash you up in some karaoke, bro.
Well, the reason why I got to have you on, James, and for those who don't know, he is Snotty Drippin' on Twitter. He's a fun Twitter account to follow. If you guys aren't following him, definitely go check him out. But the one of the main reasons why I have to have you on, well, there's a couple, but this being the main one, is the other day I'm scrolling through my timeline like I normally do, waiting for something fun to pop up, a conversation to get into. And, you know, I'm stretching my arms a little bit. I get on Twitter, and here he is. The one and only Snotty Drippin' says that he really hopes that – I can't remember who it was, actually. That's why I was trying to pull it up here. But you said you did not want one of these top players to go to the Kings, one of these top draft picks. Can you explain why?
So Boogie was a symptom. I don't think he was the actual disease. And I don't know what the actual – I think we've never seen a disease quite like this in the NBA as far as – what's going on with the Sacramento Kings, because you got new ownership, you know, a brand new front office. You've been through about 33 coaches in the last 8 years. I know it's not that many, but it keeps happening over and over again. From the top down, the Kings are just a mess. And I think looking at Ben McLemore, looking at Nick Stauskas, who probably shouldn't have been drafted as high as he is, but now he's actually a functional NBA player. While he looked like he was just lost in Sacramento. Thomas Robinson, which I'm not saying – he's been bad everywhere he went, but you know, that was the actual, I think that's where he started, right? Sacramento, Thomas Robinson.
Yep, number five pick.
Yeah, so it's on and on. You can kind of look, they've cycled through players, and sure the picks haven't been great, but player development just hasn't been happening. So they got a guy like Boogie Cousins, great talent. They never could corral him and never could put him in an environment. They never fostered an environment of like nurturing and actually and some kind of structure to help him grow up. And that's telling. It's telling because, you know, I think coming into the league, we knew Boogie was kind of a hothead. So, yeah, for years now, the Kings have just been disappointing. And it's past the stage of being, like, funny or being a joke. And until something changes in that front office and some kind of leadership change happens or some kind of structure is put in place and some kind of culture is built there, I don't want to see good young players go there and be wasted.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think you posted that, what, around 2 weeks ago, a week ago, and by then, you and I were already going back and forth in our little Slack channel for the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, and I think you said that about a week or two ago, like I said. Now that you've kind of, and I don't know if you've seen a lot of Kings lately, but now that we've kind of starting to see a little bit of development with guys like Willie Cauley-Stein getting more minutes, Scalabissiere putting up some nice numbers in his limited minutes, and a guy that I'm going to bring up who I've been pleasantly surprised by because no one expected him to get minutes at all in Yorgos Papayannis, and he's becoming a guy that you can see rebounding potential with him. His shot is ugly, but Sean Marion's shot was ugly too, so I mean, I can't really blame a guy for his shot being ugly anymore, but again, have you seen development now? Because with Dave Yeager, that's his background. I mean, he was in the D-League. He was developing players. He won a D-League championship. You know, he's made his ranks up developing young players, and now he gets the chance to do that with this complete young team. Do you think now that you've seen a little bit of development that you're going to kind of change your statement and would like to see with some of these top-tier prospects out of the Kings?
I've seen 7 or 8 years of dysfunction with Sacramento, so like 10 games of it can't really change. You know, but I will say, though, they're a lot more entertaining to watch. And I love Scott LaBissiere. Willie Cauley-Stein's been a even though we all knew he had potential, he's been like a revelation at times. I haven't watched enough to have a opinion on Giorgio Papagiannis.
That was close.
Not bad.
Not bad. Okay. Can you say Giannis Antetokounmpo yet?
Oh yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo. I got that. That's nothing.
That's nice.
That's a Scooby snack. Just eat those easy.
Can you write it without having to copy and paste though?
Luckily it's in my phone and that's written enough where it autofills. So I don't have to worry about that. Our boy Malachi Richardson, I think he's gonna be really good when he's back and healthy. I don't know if you probably heard big Bill Simmons and his Patrick Ewing theory.
I don't know if I've heard this one. I've heard a lot of Bill Simmons though. So
basically it's Ewing went down back in like 98 or 99 or 2000, whatever. He was one of his last years with the Knicks, and no, he was supposed to be the centerpiece, but he got hurt and all of a sudden they started playing a lot better. So the Ewing theory is that certain guys on certain teams, even if they're good personally themselves, you know, like individually they're good, they take away from the rest of the team. And once they go down, things like get better or get traded, things get better. So I think there's a little bit of that Ewing theory right now, even though they weren't winning with Boogie. They're not winning with him now, but things just like, I guess it's true. It seemed like a dark cloud lifted off that team. So, I was a big Boogie supporter.
That's right. What I was about to get into. I'm about to just let you unwind for a second, cause I haven't got to really ask an outside, reporter or NBA watcher and reporter on if what their thoughts were initially once they found out Cousins was traded, one, for what they got in return, and two, what you think that means for the team going forward. So I'm going to kind of just let you talk for a minute just on the DeMarcus Cousins trade, your initial reaction, and then what you think of the team moving forward without him.
Yeah, again, I think they did Boogie a disservice, but Boogie didn't do himself any favors or the team any favors either with his, he never grew up, right? We could deal with the hothead stuff and the temper and the outburst. We can do that when you're 21, 22, you're a kid, but you know, Boogie's what, 26, 27 now almost. He's not a kid anymore.
Right.
25, 26, wherever he is. He's not a kid anymore. He's been in the league for like six, seven years. And I'm not really close with the King franchise, but you know, I just heard the thing about him trying to fight Nick Stauskas on a plane and like how he just kind of eviscerated Nick Stauskas and kind of ruined him from the jump. I heard Isaiah said something like, Boogie's thing was he would test you from the get-go, and if you didn't, you know, if he tested you and you backed down, you were dead to him. That kind of nonsense, right? And right. So, again, it's very telling. We could say it's both of their faults, but when one side is a multi-billion-dollar franchise, I'm going to give them most of the blame, right? And that's just from the get-go. If you didn't put the parameters in from the get-go when he was a rookie, then you can't expect him to change 3-4 years in when you try to rein him in. But I was very pro Boogie. I liked his passion. It's funny because I waffled on it. There were times when I was like, you know, he's a problem. He's an issue. Then the more I watched him, the guy's so talented. I'm like, well, he's a problem, but they're losing a lot. And that's my main thing. Like, it's chicken or the egg. Did he turn into this, you know, terrible attitude player in Sacramento because of losing? Or was it losing because of his terrible attitude? But we know the losing was there before Boogie got there.
Right.
So, I really thought the return they got back wasn't very good. And this is just a systemic with the front office. Because we know they could have got better deals for Boogie at other times. Not only did Vlade say it, we know. We've heard the rumors about better deals than that for Boogie. And they were just adamant to keep him. And then they move him for, you know, I guess pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. And that's just a sign of the dysfunction in Sacramento. But it was necessary. Obviously, I think that relationship just came to a point where there was nothing else to do. It wasn't fixable. I think the watershed moment, obviously, when they fired the coach that he was getting along with. What's that guy's name?
Michael Malone.
Yeah, when they fired Malone while Boogie was out sick, you know, right when he got back from, you know, being out sick, was it meningitis he had?
Yeah, he had some like really bad sickness that like made him lose a ton of weight and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so, you know, they were doing pretty well. They were in the playoff hunt, of course, and he got sick and missed like 10 games. They tanked. They fell. You know, they played terribly without their star player, of course, and they fired their coach. That was the watershed moment, I think, and they probably should have moved Boogie right around then to and maximize his value.
Are you in the same camp as me where I look at it and I'm like, if you were going to trade Cousins, you had to do it one of two times. One, in the beginning of the year when you knew you were going to do this. If this was in your game plan, if this is what you were going to do, you should have made that decision a long time ago. You needed to be more decisive with that and you didn't do it. And then secondly, to tell him that you were going to extend him for that long period of time and then to change your mind, it just kind of made you look a little bit even worse. And then also to do it when he's away from the team during All-Star Weekend just made it look even terrible.
It's cowardly. It is. And this is why I was saying I didn't want any good young player that I like to go there. Because it doesn't seem like they treat their players very well. It doesn't seem like they have a cohesive front office plan. They don't have an identity that they're trying to build. They're just kind of just doing whatever.
It doesn't seem like they have a blueprint yet of what they're doing to move forward.
And that's a terrible problem. The fact that they traded away not just Stauskas, but a freaking a pick swap for no reason. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just mind boggling. So here's hoping that Vlade gets better, you know, and he learned from these mistakes. But the fact that that kind of mistake can cripple your franchise for years to come.
Sorry to interrupt you. But then also, do you think they could have got a better return if they waited until the draft? Because, I mean, Cousins still has another year on his contract. It's not like the extension had to be done once the season ended. They could have waited until after the draft, where then if they were going to trade him and he wasn't meeting expectations to the attitudes and things like that he was doing, then at that point you say, you know what, there's other teams that are going to be wanting to make their team better going into next season, make turning points.
They could have got a big return. The problem with that is that, like, they made the right decision to when to trade them. Even though they didn't do it right, they talked to them about, you know, over and extend you all this, and then they just up and trade you. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. They made the right decision trading him now because I think any team that's trading for him wants as long as possible to look at him to figure out if this is in their long term plans. You know, so I think sure you get him in the summertime, and they got training camp, but don't like I think so. When's he up for the extension? Next year.
At the end of the season, he's on his final year of his deal next year.
Okay, so I mean,
they could have got a full year with him, and then still made the decision, the extension deadline to extend him. Or if not, they could have waited until free agency to give him another max deal. And that's the thing, like even with New Orleans, they're not winning any games, and my thing is at some point, once they realize they're not going to make the playoffs, and this is why the trade is just terrible to me, they have a top three protection on their pick. And I believe they're just above the Kings in the standings. They can just start tanking games if they want to, if they know they can't make that eighth seed.
Yeah, like, they're not going to get top three. They're not going to fall that far.
It's still the possibility of it happening, and the fact that it's in the deal makes it look worse. The fact that it's protected.
And again, that's just the foolishness of the Kings front office, man. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just such a – them and the Knicks are just such a mess to me that, yeah, I don't want any player that I kind of like, I don't want them going there.
Let me ask you this, then. I listened to this on the Bill Simmons podcast because he brought up Bill Simmons. What franchise would you like to take over more? The Knicks, we'll stay in New York, the Nets, or the Kings?
Oh, the Nets.
The Nets, they have no future, though.
Okay, and this is the argument I have. But if we can watch them and see, they're building something that actually makes sense.
What?
You can say Sean Marks has been doing an outstanding job. And he's cleaning up the mess left to him by the old GM. You can say he has no future. But, I mean, look at these guys, dude. They play hard every single night. They beat the Dallas Mavericks, who aren't – we could say the Dallas Mavericks are bad because they're a sub-500 team right now. But we saw that, you know, they've been a lot better since they got Nerlens Noel. They beat them by, like, 30. You know, no, they didn't. I'm thinking about Philly. But either way, I'm saying that the Nets and so you're asking if I'm taking over as a GM? The reason I wouldn't take the Knicks is because Phil Jackson. The reason I wouldn't want to take Sacramento is because of Vivek. And I hear what you're saying. Like, talent-wise, Sacramento's in a better place, and the Knicks are in a better place. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans if your GM is – I mean, if your front office is in disarray. And Sacramento and the Knicks are always in disarray. So I get what you're saying. Talent wise, it's hands down. I actually would say right now, moving forward, if you can give me control of the, you know, say the you know, Phil's out and Vivek's out, and it's a competent owner. Sure, I'd actually probably say the Kings might be first.
Wow.
And then the Knicks, and then the Nets. Nets. Oh yeah, I love Willie Cauley Stein. I love Scal.
I love Porzingis though.
I'm still not sure about Buddy Hield, but I love Malachi. You guys dropped the point guard. You guys are in a really good spot. I think Ben McLemore's looking a little better now, even though, I mean, I think they might have ruined him already, to the point where it might be unsalvageable. He might just be kind of who he is now. But I love Porzingis, and I love Hernan Gomez in New York. You know, Ron Baker's fun, but other than that, what do they really have? You know what I'm saying? And they're wasting Porzingis right now. Sure, it's only year two, but they kind of, you can see his arc has already kind of flattened out as far as its development. So, Jesse Blanchard over at BO Breakdown, where I write, he posed the question, in 5 years, which franchise is going to be in a better place? And, you know, he said the Nets or the Knicks. I still think it's going to be the Nets. And he was like, well, they have no path to talent and, you know, no path to getting a star. So you can say all you want to, but if you build a quality franchise, I would rather have that with a blueprint, even with middling talent, and just, you know, be maybe end up being a good team in 5 years, but just have a good, strong bedrock and friend and foundation and direction and identity, than be the Knicks in 5 years with Porzingis and overpaying vets on bloated salaries and still trying to just patch to get anything to make the eighth seed in the playoffs.
I see what you're saying. I mean, personally, like I said, if I have the choice and Phil's out and Vivek's out, I'm probably going Knicks. I love Porzingis. I'm on the bandwagon. I have to go to New York for him. On top of that, you brought up Hernan Gomez. I think he's a nice little piece. I think Courtney Lee is on a nice contract. I think he's a good player to have as a veteran. Derek Rose, I'll see you later. Carmelo's off. Well, his contract's over in 2 years or a year.
Who, Rose?
No, Melo.
Melo has until, I think, 19, bro.
So he has two more years.
I think 18. Yeah, a couple more years. Yes, I don't know. Either way, whatever. He got to go.
Yeah. I mean, I would find a way to get rid of him if he let. I don't know. I think there's some conversation or like some rumors going around on Twitter lately that he might be asking for a trade at the summertime, but we'll see when all that happens. But I'm going to pause the show right here to give a shout out to our sponsors. Everyone go to brickhouseindustries.com and check out all of their apparel, from hats, shirts, and socks. And when checking out, be sure to use promo code KingsCourt and you'll get a 10% discount on any of your purchases. Also, guys, I want to give a huge shout out to FanDuel.com. If you like winning money every single day, and all you have to do is, with one easy dollar, is set a daily lineup playing basketball, football, hockey, golf. I believe they're actually going to start adding in tennis here too. Don't quote me on that, but I do believe I saw that in a recent email from them. We'll find that out soon. On your very first deposit, if you've never played FanDuel before, go to SatKingsNation.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom, click on that FanDuel link, and use promo code KingsCourt, and they'll match up to $10 of your first deposit.
Hey friends, it's Joe Borelli from the Superflight NBA podcast here. If you're looking for some NBA news that's a little off the beaten path, you might want to check out the Superflight. I have great guests from around the league to talk about all the latest NBA topics. But if you're craving some art, music, and general existential nonsense as well, I got you covered there too. Check out the Superflight podcast on iTunes or anywhere you download your podcasts. Or go to ABPN and subscribe. And thanks for tuning in. Now back to your show.
All right, James. Again, I'm going to go back to your Twitter, because this is where I have a lot of fun, because I love reading your Twitter. I love people that stir up conversations on Twitter. I follow almost everybody. And the one thing you keep talking about lately is a lot of these prospects. And I think the big reason why is it's March Madness right now. And I know you don't want any of these top tier players to go there. But as of right now, I think the Kings are right around the 5-7 range if they land there, just with their own pick. And then they should be having another one with the New Orleans pick. So they can be drafting, you know, 6-7 or 7-8, somewhere in that range, when the draft time comes. What players do you think they should be putting their eyes on, whether it be a point guard or a small forward, that they should be really putting their eyes on during this tournament, or at least when draft time comes?
We're talking about the 5-8. I love Dennis Smith Jr. if he's still around. I love who's the other guy I love? Oh, I love De'Aaron Fox. I know he can't shoot. I know he can't shoot, man. Both those guys aren't shooters, but they do so much on the court. And, you know, this is the age of the point guard. So if they need, they obviously need to upgrade the point guard position, right? Because Collison is not the long-term answer. I think he's actually better as a backup. And we know that Ty Lawson's not the answer because he's just, no, I'm not going to say anything mean about Ty Collison. I hope he gets all the help he needs and he gets himself together, but Lawson's not the answer. Jonathan Isaacs would be a nice fit, floor stretcher. He's long, and hopefully you can get some versatility. You know, I don't like his explosion. He's not very explosive for his height and for his size. Not really. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But he can shoot. He's tall and he can shoot. He can get it done. I guess, you know, he can play 3 and 4. Who else? What's my guy's name? Justin Jackson out of North Carolina.
Josh Jackson. Back.
No, Justin Jackson out of North Carolina, UNC.
I've kept my eye on a lot of point guards recently. My main two for point guard, you brought him up already, is Smith Jr. and mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox. Those two are the top two. I think De'Aaron Fox goes in the top five.
It's funny because you see the way league's going, right? And mm-hmm. Everyone's kind of in lockstep. You got to have shooting at the point guard position. And that's why I think Fultz is going to be great. That's why I think Monk can be Monk. I think is, you know, hey, if Monk's still there, I'd go for Monk.
I think the Kings are going to pick Monk. I don't care where it's at. He can start descending in draft stock, and draft stock is, and I've talked about it with Ed Isaacson at NBA Draft Blog. I mean, draft stock is just like a term used to evaluate a player in how high they are in people's minds. It's really not even a real thing, but I think Malik Monk is a Kings player. Like he can shoot the basketball. As long as you can shoot, you can come to the Kings. So that's the whole thing with Buddy Hield, right? Vivek coming out and saying that he's the next Steph Curry, Nick Stauskas, Nick Rocks. Remember, he's Klay Thompson. So again, I think if you can shoot the ball, the Kings are looking at you.
I think Malik, like we've seen a lot of Kings players, he probably can do a little more with the ball in his hands than he's allowed to. Like we saw with Devin Booker. We saw that, you know, Cal Anthony Towns didn't shoot threes in college. It's something, you know, guys play their position in Kentucky and they get to the league and we see things that we haven't seen from them. Monk's an insane athlete. I mean, if you can just get him to learn how to run a little pick and roll, you know, as a ball handler, you know, that kind of shooting, you know, and Willie Cauley-Stein rolling to the hole, that's you might have something there. So I like Monk, Isaacs, like I said, Dennis Smith Jr. or what's the other guy's name?
Fox.
The point guard. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox and Justin Jackson, a small forward, nice wing type player. He's not incredibly athletic, but he seems like his shot looks a lot better this year. He can shoot.
I'm gonna throw a name at you. I'm gonna throw a name at you because this seems to be a name that, and I follow a lot of Kings fans. This seems to be a name that keeps popping up as like this is the name that everyone that's a Kings fan is really liking right now.
I got feelings about that. I think you're about to piss me off. Go ahead.
I don't like this player. I think he relies too much on his athleticism. I think his jumper is not that good as everyone thinks it is, and I don't think his footwork is as great as everyone thinks it is either. I think he's a boomer bust player, and that's Jason Tatum.
Oh yeah. It's just funny because what makes him so great? Tell me what you're hearing about him that makes him so great.
It's his athleticism, his NBA body.
I've heard his great one-on-one scoring.
But he's not a great one-on-one scorer. Who?
He has pretty good footwork and he's all right. But like you just said, I don't see like high level explosiveness from him. He's good size, you know. What, he's 6'8", you know. But I mean, all right, you hit the NBA, every small forward 6'8". I'm not
a fan of him. I said this on the last show with my co-host Joe. I say he's either going to be a Derek Williams or a Marvin Williams. Like, that's his broad area. And hopefully if he's better than that, he can be a Shane Battier. And that's
all I'm saying is we see that Carmelo Anthony, who and in his prime was a great athlete and a great one-on-one scorer. Melo was great, and this kid's no Melo, so I'm not comparing him to Melo. I don't see prime Melo from this kid at all. But the point is, like, you know, the way the NBA is now. All right, you have a great one-on-one scorer. Well, can you defend? Can you play make? That's what they want. And if this kid's coming to the league and his whole thing is, oh, he's a great one-on-one scorer and he has all the tricks in the bag. All right. I mean, are you picking that top 10? If he's not, you know, he's not a strong defender, he's not a strong rebounder, What are you doing? What are you?
But he can like, guard multiple positions, and that's another thing that people are going to ride that train on. It's like, oh, he can do multiple different things, and that's what the league's switching to. Like, remember when being a tweener was bad, and now it looks like being a tweener is a good player?
Well, you know what it makes me think of? What's my guy's name who went to Utah last year? What's wrong with me right now? The kid they drafted, the power forward who likes to shoot threes.
Trey Lyles.
Yeah, dude, it's late over here. I'm sorry. So Trey Lyles is that kind of, you know, hey, he's big, he can shoot them. He's been horrible this year.
Yeah, he has.
So it's kind of like, you're taking
it pretty high on him too.
I even see, and that's like this kid, Laurie Markkanen. I don't like him.
Is that the guy who's gonna piss you off?
The kid from Arkansas. From Arizona. Yeah, if you told me that, that'd have pissed me off. That'd have kind of pissed me off. Big man who can't rebound and rim protect, and all they do is shoot. I mean, you guys already got Anthony Tolliver. What are you going to do with Laurie Markkanen? You know, so it's, Tatum. Yeah, Tatum's, you said he's a boomer bust. I don't think even too much of a boom. I think he is a decent ceiling, but a really low floor kind of guy. And I don't know where you.
And you say Marvin Williams is the good name then? Because Marvin Williams has stepped it up. Like, you got to applaud Marvin Williams. Like, he's never going to live up to his draft position, but he's a solid role player over there in Charlotte right now.
Here's the thing. He was played out of position most of his career, right? He was never a small forward. He should always been playing a stretch forward type role.
Right.
So that was his problem. So, yeah, I don't know, man. And I don't watch a lot of college ball. My thing is, like, some guys just kind of jump off the screen. Like Miles Bridges, to me, he just jumped off the screen. I think that guy's gonna be, he has it. Does he really have it? I don't know. I think Miles Bridges has it. You know, even Josh Jackson, I think he has it.
No, yeah, I love Josh Jackson.
He does certain things. I'm like, holy crap! Like I watched film on Patrick McCraw last year. Like before the draft, I watched it, and he just did things. I'm like, that guy. I mean, just looks like a pro playing with kids. You know, and I just don't feel that. I don't get that feeling watching your boy Tatum. I don't get that feeling. I get a feeling like he's a really good college player. Let's see how he does as a pro.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you get that feeling when you watch projected number 2 overall pick, and his name keeps popping up everywhere, at least his last name does, Lonzo Ball? He has a big game today. We're recording this show at 10:30 tonight on the West Coast. James, are you in the West Coast or are you in the East?
I'm in San Diego.
So you on the West Coast too? But are you like 3 hours ahead of me, 2 hours ahead of me still?
I'm in
Sacramento. Same.
Yeah, it's 10:30 here.
Oh,
yeah.
It's 10:30 over here too. Okay, I'm a little crazy. I'm tired over here too. I was hitting the gym. I'm tired. what's your thoughts on Lonzo Ball?
The kid can really pass.
You like that Jason Kidd comparison?
No. Jason Kidd was a freak in nature as far as strength and speed. And this kid, he's good and he's fast, but he's not Jason Kidd fast. And that's what people like. He's like a slower, smaller Jason Kidd. But then he's not like Jason Kidd. What made him great was his speed and his strength. He was like, you know, he's going into guys' chest and knocking back big like centers because he was so strong. So, no, I don't like the Jason Kidd comparison. I don't like the fact that he has to hit that stupid. His only real off-the-dribble shot is a step back to the left three. You know, I think he's going to be good. He's fine. Maybe better than good. I don't want my team. I'm a Celtics fan. I don't want them touching him.
I got to talk to you. I'm going to get to the Celtics too, because I'm going to get to the playoff conversation and MVP conversation. So I can't, I'm glad you brought that up. So I'm just warning you for what's coming up ahead here, listeners, and James yourself as well. But, you gave me your thoughts on Lonzo. Now, you know, what's coming next, right?
Let's hear it.
What's your thoughts on LeVar?
You know what? I keep hearing people make this argument about, oh, you're mad at him for being confident in the Suns. And when they're talking about people who don't like Alonzo Ball, LeVar Ball, or have anything to say, it's not that. I think we all kind of know that one guy, when he comes in the room, has to be the loudest. Mm-hmm. He has to be the flashiest. You know, you say, hey, I just bought a new car. And he's like, oh, what you get? Oh, that's last year's model. I got the new one. Or you say, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Hawaii. Oh, I did that 2 years ago. I'm going to Jamaica this year. Me and my family. We're going to, you know, he just seems to be that kind of guy, and that kind of personality just is whack to me. You know, I saw him on First Take today with Stephen A. Smith, and he's just so whack, man. He's just one of those loud mouth, hey, look at me type guys. And because no one looked at him, now he wants everybody to look at his sons, which is great. Hey, you tell your son, you can, you know, tell you, it's number one time you tell your sons, hey, son, you can move mountains. I believe in you. You're the greatest ever. That's awesome. Tell the world that. I don't mind that. I just, he just seems like, I watched him today on First Take. I'm like, this guy's, he's kind of a clown.
I just hate that he says he can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. That's just the craziest thing to say.
But see, we all know it. And that's the thing. He's just one of those guys that likes to say things because it gets him attention. Right. And he's trying to leverage this. He's milking this dry. He's doing it for promotion. Right. Like I read the whole article about how they run that. He basically runs that school out there in high school where his kids are going. You know, he's like, when my kids leave, they're going to lose all the games and they can have this, you know, have it back. You know, he's going in the locker room and the coach is like, dude, stop coming in the locker room after games. He goes in the locker room after games. He, you know, he has parents paying for him to do his training with his kids. And like, you know, nobody plays varsity unless they come through me. And if you don't come through me and pay, then, you know, so it's pretty much like a boys club. He's, you know, in a pipeline he's making over there. And it just sounds, he just sounds like, yeah. He's one of those dudes, he came in the room, I just kind of sit in the corner and just, you know, I leave for a chance I get. Cause he sounds like he just get on my nerves.
James that guy amongst his friends?
No, hell no.
Is Snotty dripping that man around his friends?
Hell no.
I like that
fun and I talk big, but I know who I am, man. And I don't want to try to make anybody feel small to make myself feel big. That's me. So, and he seems to be that kind of dude. You know what I mean?
Where did the snotty dripping thing come from? Like, and also, is that
Scottie Pippen,
separate,
baby? Scottie Pippen.
No, I know that, but I mean, snotty dripping. I mean, I think that's kind of funny. One and. When you're on Twitter, I mean, you kind of get into it with a lot of your followers. I mean, you'll rant back at them, and sometimes people wait for you to do that rant. Like I sometimes see some of the tweets that you get, and I feel like they're just trying to egg you on a little bit, just so you can say something. Is that like a different personality when you're on Twitter? Or are you the same person?
I'm same in real life. I don't have a lot of patience for stupidity, right? And so like. Sure, you could say something that's wrong. I don't care. And you could say it, but sometimes, especially if I didn't ask for your opinion and you give me an opinion I think it's stupid, I'm like, why are you even telling me this? It's stupid. You know, or if you're telling me something I know is patently false, or if I just give my opinion and, you know, you want to go off on a 6-7 tweet, you know, try to diatribe to me, here, this is why you're wrong. I'm like, you know, I really don't want to hear it. I'm a pretty opinionated guy in person or, you know, online, whatever. It's just, and it, I guess online is even better because that's when people's like, oh, you're just talking tough. And I'm like, shut up. I mean, what? Yeah. I just told you to shut up. Don't tell me to shut up. No, shut up. You know, I mean, all right. You know, and it's not even about being, you know, it's not even about being a tough guy. It's just, I'd say to your face, shut up. I mean, what are you going to do?
I'm going to say, okay, because I'm a lover, not a fighter. I'm a podcaster, not a tweeter.
That's
you can
it,
tell
man.
That from my tweet account.
I mean, I'm. Hey, it's all about having fun and a good time. But I mean, I've had my times in life, you know. So.
So let's move on here to the MVP conversation, and then after this, we'll move into some playoff talk. MVP, we got a 4-man race for it right now. We all know the names: Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and of course the best in the league right now, LeBron James, or at least in the world, probably not in the league right now. But out of those four names, who do you think deserves the MVP? And don't say Isaiah Thomas just because you're a Celtics fan.
No, Isaiah. I'm glad he got mentioned. I'm glad he got mentioned in the conversation. But nah, he didn't. You know, I think. Look, what's the criteria of MVP?
That's the thing. There's not
one set criteria.
Your team has to win.
There you go. That's numbers. The one. Hey, top two team in the conference. That's what everybody says. For the last 25 years, it's historically from a top two team in the conference. Okay. Well, guess what? Where's Boston right now? Top two team in the conference.
Okay.
He's the best player as far as offensively on that team. You know, the numbers he's putting up, it's MVP looking numbers, you know, 29-6. I just want him to be mentioned in the conversation. I understand he's not Kawhi, he's not LeBron, he's not Harden, he's not Westbrook. But like just by the criteria people like to point out, you know, top 10, then I mean, he should have a better shot than Harden, better shot than Russ. But we know those two are doing a lot more and are better players than he is. So personally, I got Russ. I'm just a big Westbrook guy. And I understand winning does matter. So, you know, hey, right now they're in what? They're the fourth. They're in the sixth seed, pushing for the fifth. That probably won't get the job done. I get a lot of people look at that and just like, all right, you're the fifth. Go ahead.
Isn't that admirable, though? I mean, no one even thought they might be sniffing eighth seed when the season started. Now they're fighting for fifth right now, aren't they? Like they're really in the trenches right now, trying to get middle seed. Yeah. So and I mean, I think you got to applaud that a little bit.
They don't have that 4-game losing streak, and they're right there in the thick of things right now, knocking on the door probably for almost a 4 seed. That's incredible. And I think, you know, Westbrook has been one of the most impactful players in the league this year. Love him. But at the same time, I do understand winning does count. Like what, even though he said, you know, I don't care what Curry, you know, I don't care what he says, who is he about Curry? Curry made a good point. And, you know, he said, hey, winning does kind of matter. That gives Harden the edge, you know, 3rd seed versus the 6th seed. I get it. So, yeah, to me, it'd be Russ. But I do think right now it's the other two-man race that it's going to be between Harden and Kawhi.
Really? You don't even have LeBron in that top two?
I mean, LeBron's great. LeBron could have won it. He could win it every year. I just noticed that, like, you know, he's just not in the conversation. It's so narrative-driven that right now, Kawhi, he burst into the scene. Harden's having a great run right now. I think I just looked it up, and Harden's in the last week is averaging like 40 points a game.
Mm-hmm. Fantasy team.
Yeah, he's awesome. he's incredible. So I think right now, and you know what's funny? It's very much what have you done for me lately? No matter what, like if you look at Russ's resume, he has quite a few game winners this season, and like clutch fourth quarters, and he beat the Celtics by himself with a bunch of deep threes. He beat Utah with that clutch jumper. Yeah. Of game playing, he beat the Clippers early in the season by just, you know, sticking jumpers in DeAndre Jordan's face, you know, with clock winding down the last minute. He did these things, but he did it early in the season, you know what I mean? So people don't, I think a lot of voters probably don't watch OKC like that. And as we come towards the end of the season, that's distant memory. And so, I think Harden and Kawhi right now are the two front runners.
You brought up storylines, and I think that's a great point, because with LeBron James, you know, the resting games thing right now is a big storyline surrounding the NBA, and it has been for the last couple of days. I think it's starting to fade a little bit. But, of course, that memo just recently got released, and I think that was why a big conversation came out of it. But, you know, LeBron sits out games. Do you think that comes into effect when people are voting for MVP?
He actually hadn't sat out very many. I think he's only missed 3 games this season, so I hope it doesn't. But the fact that their defense is in a dumpster right now, and the fact that they had a losing January – and the fact that right now they just don't look very good, those things factor in. Even though there's reason for those things, but they still factor in. I wasn't
trying to say that he was resting out games. I just meant that he came out and said, like, I can't remember. It was to a report. I mean, there was like a report
he came said,
out.
Yeah,
that
he said he's all for resting. Yeah, he said basically, hey, we got more data now. And he's like, you know, your whole job is, you know, he said, we're the prize. We're the, you know, the players are what people are here to see, and it should be all about protecting us. And I agree with him. So, I mean, I hope they don't ding him for that. You know what I'm saying? For saying that, because he's absolutely right. I mean, I don't know. I had a couple of discussions on Twitter about this, and people sounded really, they sounded very red state. You know, they sounded very make America great again discussing this. Well, these guys are paid. They're paid to play, and injury is part of the game. So, I mean, why are they trying to avoid injury? I'm like, you know, I said, you sound like we're back on a plantation, you know? You know what I mean? These people say, oh, I mean, they're paid to play. Then, you know, if they're healthy, they need to be out there. I mean, I read an article where the Warriors said, like, you know, they use a sports view cameras, and, like, they had the data showing that Clay and Steph were nearing fatigue, you know? That you can see this, then sit the guy down for a game or two. It's all right. That's where I'm at. So,
I think LeBron's that number two guy right now. I think his name is in the news enough. I think there's so many eyes on him every time he plays, and I think that people are taking notice on his numbers, especially from the 3-point line this year. So I think it actually goes Harden, then LeBron, then Kawhi, then Russ, and I'm glad you brought up Russell Westbrook, because I think he and Kawhi Leonard are getting underlooked, even though their names are out there as a top four race. Like, Westbrook is putting up a triple-double, and Kawhi Leonard is a phenomenal defender. And I think what's going to hurt him, speaking about storylines, is there was that recent piece, I think, that came out on ESPN that shows that the team is actually worse on defense when he's on the floor. But it's only because people are avoiding the player that he's guarding.
Yeah, and they're basically playing four on four on offense, right? They're putting the guy he's guarding in the corner, and he's playing, you know, they're playing four on four on offense, and therefore is being, you know, outplaying the Spurs for a little bit.
Right.
So that's one theory about it. I think our boy Matt Moore actually did a whole piece on that too over at CBS Sports, whatever. And so, you know what? And here's the thing: I don't think the general NBA fan, even the general NBA writer who probably does the voting, which is, you know, probably middle age, older, and, you know, let's be real, it's, it, you know, older white guys, they don't give a damn about that kind of advanced stat. You know, they just know Kawhi has huge hands; he gets great steals. That play against Harden, that, you know, when he hit the shot and he came down and pinned him to the glass, that's a big deal as far as for MVP voting. Just, it's such a visceral, visual thing when you say this guy's a great two-way player. He just showed it to you in, like, you know, in a 10-second span. That's a big, pretty big boost to him, I think.
Let's move into playoff talk, because I think this is where we're going to have a lot of fun, because the seedings aren't done yet, but of course, I think the most fun leading up into the finals is, of course, going to be on the West Coast side. And I'm going to start at the bottom. Let's start off at the 8th seed. I believe right now Denver is still barely holding on to it. They have a tough game coming up tomorrow or today when you guys are listening to it against the Indiana Pacers. So who do you think gets the 8th seed and who do you want to get the 8th seed?
I still feel Portland, you know, they're a game behind Denver right now. I still think Portland's going to get it. Just because with the addition of Nurkic, they've been a completely different team.
I've been surprised with how good he plays too.
We didn't think he had this in him, and this just shows you again how much chemistry and how much like a player. We can say it's not right. Oh, the pros are getting paid to play. It doesn't matter. A player being happy makes all the difference in the world. A player feeling wanted makes all the difference in the world. So since the All-Star break, Portland's 10-5. Denver's not far behind. They're 9-6, but Portland has just looked like I said, a completely different team. Their point differential, their net differential, all that, they just look like a more complete, balanced NBA team. And I'm not sure if Denver is that. Right now, Denver's starting Jameer Nelson, and he's getting, you know, big run, and he's like 80 years old. He's good for him. You know, they're deep too. They have deep. They're deep on the wings. Him and Plumlee and Jokic, you know, are a decent tandem inside, and they play beside each other, and you know, a nice change of place with Manimal. But I just think Portland, plus the fact that Dame's been there before, you know, the fact the whole team, almost those guys, they all played the playoffs last year, that gives them a little edge in this little playoff run here. So I think Portland's going to snatch it from Denver.
Is that the team you want to make the AC? Do you think they have a better chance competing with either the Spurs or the Warriors, whoever claims that number one seed?
Yeah, if KD doesn't come back, even though the Warriors are still, you know, I think they're still heavy favorites in that series, they got a puncher's chance, right? Dame and CJ catch fire. Nurkic, you know, wreak some havoc and outplay Zaza easily. The main thing there is that Dre can just, you know, he can just muck up an offense by himself and just, you know, blow up your whole game plan. So
don't diss my boy Aminu like that, though.
I like Aminu. He's like a very poor man's Dre.
A very, you know, very poor man's, like the homeless man's version.
Exactly. So I like, you know, Portland, I think they screwed themselves last summer by paying all those guys. It was pretty unnecessary. Evan Turner is a bum. I don't like him. So
he did his role in Boston, and we'll get to them soon. But I didn't even think he was that good in Boston either, to be honest.
He wasn't. I didn't like him there either. Yeah. And he talks like Kermit the Frog. So I got to say that. So but see, Denver be just as fun too. Like I said, they're so deep.
I love Denver. That's my new favorite team right now.
Wilson Chandler's dope. Will Barton's dope. Those two are just so fun. You know what I mean? They give the team a real loose, almost like 80s kind of feel. They just kind of run out. They just go out there and they just hoop. Gallinari to me has been always kind of overrated, but I know people love him, so whatever.
I think Wilson Chandler's a ball hog.
But that's all right, though. That's his job. His job is to score.
I think he's at the Nick Young role right now.
He's way better than Nick Young. He got, you know, better size. He's a better one-on-one scorer. I wasn't high on Jamal Murray coming out. He's looking pretty good. So I still think Portland gets it, though. Yeah, and I think I prefer Portland to Denver just because.
Have you been surprised that they haven't been playing Moutier? I mean, that kind of surprises me a little bit because I kind of thought that was going to be their future moving forward. And I believe Malone said he gave him the keys.
we just talked. I mean, I was talking about this just now on the Press Basketball Away Team podcast that I do over at PressBasketball.com. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about how there's a certain, I might even write an article about this, the players that time forgot. Because Moutier, as much as I like his size and his athleticism, and you know, I like physical big point guards, the fact that he can't shoot, it just sucks the life out of the team when he's on the court. It's because you got to be able to space the floor. That's why like a guy like Dennis Smith and De'Aaron Fox, yeah, that's why they kind of worry me, because I mean, if they just can't get a jump shot to go down, if they look at Chris Dunn. I love Chris Dunn, but the fact that once you're in the NBA, you're not just getting to the rim at will, and you know you can't shoot, then it just takes away so much of what your potential. So we saw that with Moutier. This is year two for him, and he didn't show a lot of improvement, a lot of turnovers, and he still can't shoot. And you know, look, Jameer Nelson's he's like out there like a he moves. I was gonna say he creaks around like a mummy, but he moves pretty well even for his age. But the fact that he can space the floor, that means so much, and that kind of unlocked the team when they put Jameer as a starter. So,
I think with Denver, they finally found that identity, and that identity is Nikola Jokic. Like that's all it is.
That's honestly, look, Moutier, let's say even if they wanted to play him, he needs the ball in his hands, and the team is just much better with Jokic as your playmaker, right? He when he comes up to the high post and he's operating from the elbows and he's just dropping passes off the cutters, so Moutier is basically redundant, right? Because he just wants the ball. He needs the ball to dribble and he can't shoot. So it sucks, and I hope he finds a good landing spot. But, like, let's think about it. Like Jahlil Okafor, he's talented. You can't tell me the guy's not talented. I watch him sometimes. He does things. I'm like, he can really play.
Offensively, just, yeah, he's nice.
It's just so hard to build around that kind of skill set, where you got to feed the ball to the post. He's chewing up clock, needs his moves, and then the other team comes down and just drops a three on you. Then you come down, you feed the post, and he might score, he might not. The other team comes down and drops a three on you. Before you know it, you're down 12 because they're hitting threes, and Jahlil Okafor is hitting twos. So, yeah, there's certain players that it seems like kind of throwback players that even if they're good, they just have a tough time in the modern NBA. And that's just Moutier. I feel bad for the kid. I like him.
Who's seventh right now in the West?
I think the Grizzlies.
Okay, I don't really want to talk about that matchup. Yeah. I think Grizzlies are already done. Six is right now Russell Westbrook, and that'd be against James Harden. I think that first round, it would be interesting. Who would you take?
I just want to real quick. I've always written off Memphis, and they always kind of make me eat my words. So I want to at least just mention the fact that, sure, they're only 8 games over 500 right now, and they're starting to sky like free fall down the standings a little bit. And you know, the same problem always plagues them, they can't shoot. But if they match up against the Spurs, I don't think it's quite as simple as just, you know, they're not going to roll over.
They'll roll over.
Well, they won't. They might lose. I don't think they're not going to roll over. I don't think so. I'm a big fan of Marc Gasol, and even though I'm not a big fan of Mike Conley, he's a good player, you know, and he's going to
deserve that money, though. No, let's be honest.
But he'd eat Tony Parker's lunch, and I think he'd eat Tony Parker and Patty Mills' lunch. So sure, I don't know.
3-6 so, Westbrook 3-6. Harden.
That'd be my most entertaining one.
That would be the game to watch every night
for sure, because you got so many storylines: Russ versus West, you know, two MVP candidates; Pat Beverly versus Russ; Nene versus Steven Adams is fun. It's just so much going on there. You know what I'm saying? Victor Oladipo and Eric Gordon, two different clashing styles. Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun, man. It'd be a great series. And I think OKC has a puncher's chance, just because if Russ heats up, if Roberson can keep Harden in the wraps, we've had some good games from both of them, you know, in the series so far.
I think a sneaky player in the playoff series, if it goes Thunder Rockets in that first round, I think Ryan Anderson's going to be an X factor in that series, because I don't like Sabonis. I think Sabonis is good. I don't think Sabonis is good this year.
You see, they've benched Sabonis, and they got Taj Gibson starting now.
But I don't think Taj Gibson's good enough to be out there on the perimeter to cover him at three.
Well, I think we'll love this then, because I'm going to tell you right now, Taj Gibson is underrated at containing the perimeter, and Ryan Anderson's not blown by anybody. So I really think
catch and shoot.
Well, and I think Taj is smart enough. This is the thing. We saw OKC last year come out of the All-Star break. They lost 8 out of 12. They kind of limped into the, you know, whatever. Then they faced the Spurs, and everything kind of clicked, and it all came together. So, you know, regular season is one thing. You meet a team in the playoff series, it's a whole different thing.
And Taj hasn't clicked yet either. So, I mean, I have to at least see a couple games where Taj Gibson is good. And I mean a couple games in a row. I don't want to see that sporadic every once in a while.
Well, and here's the thing I'm going to tell you, because, you know, even though I'm a Celtics fan, die hard, tried and true, but because of Russ Westbrook, I watch OKC really too. Since they inserted him in the starting lineup, I think they're maybe 5-1, 6-1, and he just stabilizes that whole starting lineup to the point where, like, I'm almost – they should have just thrown him in the starting lineup from day one. They make Taj a starter. They don't go through that four-game losing streak.
Who would you choose?
In the series?
Yeah, in that series, who would you choose?
Oh, I'm gonna roll with my boy Russ. Nah, let's be. Houston. I wouldn't bet against Houston because they're the favorite for a reason. I just let's see if that style translates to the playoffs, right? I'd be pulling for my boy Russ.
I think you brought up a great matchup though. That Pat Bev Russell Westbrook matchup, that whole series. There's history there. That's a good one. Last one, 4-5. Clippers and. Who's five?
And the Jazz, baby. Clippers are actually 5, and Jazz are 4 right now.
I want the Jazz. I'm gonna pull for the Jazz. I love the Jazz.
You know what? I wrote something about OKC last year, and this is when they were looking kind of shaky in December, before Russ left. So I'm talking. I wrote this December of like 2015, and I compared it to sometimes like you know you watch like a drama movie, one of those quirky drama. You know, 90s movies where you see a couple that's they live in the same house and they go through the motions, but you can just kind of see that they're disconnected and there's no real reason for it, right? They kind of grew. You could say, you know, it's old cliche. They grew apart. I wonder if that's what we're seeing with the Clippers because they don't seem to enjoy playing with each other. It's been years. They've been on that kind of treadmill where they're really good, but they're just not good enough to go over the hump. They're so methodical with Chris Paul run the show, and I think it kind of holds back my boy Blake Griffin. I wonder if this might be the year where this is it for them. So I'm pulling for the Jazz too. I like the way they play. I don't know if they have enough offensive firepower to keep up with the Clippers, but I don't know if the Clippers' offense is varied enough to really you know maybe break the Utah defense.
That's my number two, like, must-watch game of the Western Conference in that first round. Let's move out east, though. We're running kind of short on time here, but let's move out east. Let's start looking at these seedings here. 1-8, Cavs, and who's the AC right now?
I think, is it Milwaukee? I actually got the thing up right now, and I got to count because I'm dumb. Atlanta's 5, 6, 7, 8, Miami.
Oh, okay. I actually think that's a sneaky good 1-8, but I just don't see it happen. I think James Johnson is the perfect person to guard LeBron James, but he can't guard LeBron James because he's LeBron James. But I just see that as an easy walkthrough for the Cavs.
I keep hearing that about him guarding LeBron James, and it sounds good in theory until LeBron James is slicing him up. So
that's what I'm saying. I think he's the good person to guard LeBron James. But he can't guard LeBron James. Like that's the thing about James Johnson. He just can't do it. We have 2-7 Celtics and what is it? The Atlanta Hawks? Is that Atlanta?
No, it'd be Pacers.
Pacers. Oh, I'm taking Celtics all day. I'm sorry. I think the Pacers are a joke right now.
They are. And like I said, the Nets to the Nets and then turn around and beat the Pacers. And that's the moment when I said, you know what, these guys are – can I curse on your show? I don't know.
I can make the bleep noise. It's okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to give you a good warning then. Yeah, so, you know, right then I said the Pacers are a piece of – so, no, but here my only thing is that Paul George is the best player in that series, and we've seen playoff Paul George is a different animal than regular season Paul George. If Jeff Teague can get it together and not even play Isaiah to a standstill, he just makes Isaiah work on defense, which he will because Isaiah can't play defense. And if Miles Turner can get hot and you know start hitting shots, they got a puncher's chance too. It's just you know Boston's just deeper and more disciplined and you know has a better chemistry and a better just togetherness. So I'm confident Boston with that.
I think that's what it is. I think Boston is the team that has the most, as you said, cohesiveness, chemistry. I think they know their game plan every single time they walk onto the court. They know what they're doing. They're doing the same exact thing. Give Isaiah the ball, put him in a pick and roll, start spreading the floor a little bit, give the ball to Al Horford, let him throw it down to the outside wing with his back to the basket or at the top of the key. Like, they know what they're supposed to do every time they step up on the floor. And then they have a guy like Marcus Smart, where I think he's a little underrated. I call him the Bulldog. I love the way he comes down on the court off the bench or as a starter, and he'll guard anybody. It doesn't matter what position he is, and he doesn't mind getting a fine because he always flops. Like, I think that's awesome to have on your team.
My thing with Smart is I love him too. I want to keep him at almost any cost, but at the same time, man, we're in year three for him now, and he just can't shoot. It just, again, we just talked about this. It's great. He's great for this team, right? Because we have so much. Well, we have Isaiah and we have Avery Bradley as a shooter and Al Horford, but we need more from him. If the team's going to take a jump the way it is, he's got to find a way to hit shots. So, I love him too, though. I call him a fire plug in sneakers.
Last question on the Celtics, then we got to quickly move on because we're running out of time, said. But I want to ask this question because I think it's an important question, and you're a huge fan of the Celtics, so I think it's perfect. Isaiah Thomas is a max player, correct? No, just as a whole, he's a max player.
Just because the numbers put it down. Yes.
But my final question for this team is, if you have the number two pick, is Isaiah Thomas your future point guard, and do you max him out or do you let him go?
Man, it's I've reached fan zen because I say I let go and let Ainge. I love Fultz, so if Fultz is number one, I say you pick him and you just try to work it out. If it's number two, I don't know, dude. Lonzo Ball, just whatever. So, but you know, even if it's number two, Lonzo can run he could pretty much handle the ball, and he's a passer, and we can let, I don't know, whatever.
Do you need a playmaker that can barely shoot? I mean,
the thing is, he can shoot in college. We don't know what he's going to do as a pro, right? So
that shot just does not look good. I don't know why. I know it's a college shot, and I can't judge it because of the way it looks, but it just doesn't look good.
It does.
I'm not a shot doctor, though.
No, it's freaking horrible. He shoots from the left side of his face with his right hand. So, you know what? I would say if you can get Isaiah for 25, you just give him that money, and if you got to try to move him later, I guess you just work with that.
If you get the number one, though, and it's Fultz.
What do you do? Dude, 29-6. Just 29-6. You don't let that walk. What do you do? You know, you got to try to sign him. Yeah.
Hey, the Kings let him go for a second round pick that is still out in China. Just saying. 3-6. We have the Washington Wizards, and I believe this is the Atlanta Hawks, correct? If I'm counting it right, or is Hawks 5?
Sure. No, let's go with that. I think Hawks are 5, man. 3-6 is going to be. I know we're running short of time here. Pacers. Oh, Bucks. Bucks or
I think that would actually be a very interesting series, but I think the Wizards would handle them easily.
I'm going to go the opposite for the simple fact that Giannis is the best player in that series, and they have no one in the Wizards who would stop him.
I'm sorry. I think you're saying Giannis Antetokounmpo is already better than John Wall?
Yes.
I can't agree with you there. I know the size is amazing.
I'm just telling you a fact. No, because you can't teach the size. And we've seen, and John Wall can't shoot. Neither one can shoot, but no one can stop him on that team. And I think the Wizards have a better stance of controlling John Wall than they have of controlling Giannis.
I'm gonna speak like Stan Van Gundy. Create a freaking wall.
It doesn't matter.
And he'll toss it to somebody that can barely shoot.
Giannis is 7 foot tall. He'll kill Otto Porter on the post. He'll kill him in the mid range. He'll kill him going to the hole. He'll kill you guys in the fast break. So I'm not saying
underestimating that defense.
I mean, they're 22nd in defense since the All Star break. So what am I underestimating? They're not very good defensively.
Well, we're gonna talk again. We're definitely gonna be talking again. We got 4-5 here. That's the Hawks, and who's 4? I'm terrible at this.
Is it Toronto right now?
Yeah, it's Toronto. Toronto. Easily, right? That's Toronto.
That series sucks. Yeah, if Kyle Lowry comes back, Toronto should win pretty handily.
Even if he doesn't. I hate Atlanta's team. The only person I like on that team is Millsap. That's it.
I feel really bad for him, but you know what? Because we're saying that, whatever you want the Hawks to do, they do the opposite. So just when you think they're dead, Paul Millsap goes nuts and kills Ibaka every game, and they beat him. But no, Toronto should win the series no matter what.
I love Millsap. I'm not gonna lie. I was the person when the Kings had interest. I was like, I'd be okay with it. I know it's not a great pairing with him and Cousins. I'd be okay with it though. I like Paul Millsap. I think he's really, really good.
I love the kid, man. It sucks that not even a kid. He's a Greeno. He's a little older, so it sucks that he's been in that situation. I love seeing him on a really good team. Since the All-Star break, they're 22nd in defensive rating, and they're like 12th in offensive rating. 14th. So the Wizards have not been good. They're 9-7 since the break. This is my thing. Do you remember the beginning of the season when the Clippers were just dominating and everybody was like, oh, this might be the best team in the league, not Golden State?
This is the year.
Do you remember when Toronto went? I think Toronto went on a nice little run early season and they had the best offensive rating for like a month. And they were like, oh, their offense is even up there with Golden State's. That was about maybe 15, 20 games. Do you remember when Houston won like 9 out of 10, then they won like 12 in a row or some nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just because a team goes on a hot streak or has a nice hot run, and Washington's was longer than you would think, that doesn't mean that's who that team is, right? It's the reason Cleveland doesn't give a damn right now, because they just know we got to peak in time for the playoffs. I don't give a damn about these records. We got to be good for the playoffs. I think we saw the Wizards almost like blow their wad for that stretch. They play as the best they can. Now, can they recapture that for the playoffs? I don't know. I just know right now they're 9-7 since the All-Star break, and their defense is cratered, and everyone's healthy. So what's the problem? So we'll see.
We'll talk again definitely when that series comes back on. Give me one second here, because I got it. Who do you got in the finals? I just want to know, because is it going to be a round three?
It's going to be round three, and I got to just say that. I'm trying not to be reactionary, right? We all want something different. We all want to see for the drama and everything, somebody, you know, usurp these top teams. But let's back out and just be realistic here. Golden State, if KD comes back in his 90, 100, you know, if he comes back healthy and looks pretty good before the playoffs by the second round, who's really going to beat them, you know? Cleveland, when you got LeBron James on your team that he's passing the ball to, Kyle Korver, Love, and no, Jarrett's been stinky since he came back, so I'm not going to include him. But just Kyrie, Love, and even Korver, and he's just doing LeBron things. Who in the East is going to really deal with them? So I got to play the averages and say it's going to be those two.
Who has the biggest chance of upsetting the Cavs? Is it your number two seeded Celtics?
I think the problem with the Celtics is, again, they have nobody to guard LeBron, and
Crowder?
No, I don't. He gets destroyed by LeBron, and then there's no rim protection, and and Al Horford is really small on the rebounds, so Tristan Thompson just kind of toys with him. So that's my concern. So I'm not. Hey, I love Boston, what they can do. I just don't trust them against the Cavs. I think Toronto, by adding Serge and PJ Tucker, adds a lot of depth.
PJ Tucker is an X factor for sure.
He definitely is, but again, the LeBron factor. So we're talking chance of upset, I'll respect Toronto and say if Kyle Lowry comes back healthy, they got the chance.
Who has the best chance of upsetting the Warriors in the West?
Ooh,
I don't think it's the Spurs.
I think it's Houston.
I think it's Houston too. I agree.
And then dark horse, I think real dark horse is Portland.
Stop.
Hey, man, I know that it's a one in a, you know, in a million chance, but just Dame catches fire.
You're a Lillard fan. That's what it is.
I love Dame.
I know. I can tell.
Look, my thing is they tried to build Portland to be a lesser Golden State, and they did a decent job. And instead of having 80-year-old Bogut, they got a young, pretty active center who's bulky. And we know that Golden State, you know, they're like a donut. They have nothing in the middle, really. So, if we're talking upsets, they're all upsets. But, yeah, Houston has a good chance. And dark horse, way outside chance. Just because I'd like to see it for the drama. I'd love to see the Blazers upset them.
Well, since it's round three, who you got winning? Who's going to take the tiebreaker? If KD is back, everyone's healthy for the Cavs, who are you taking? Cavs, Warriors?
I'm not going to bet against LeBron yet, man. And I know that sounds foolish because he's one man and they just added another MVP in his prime. But, I mean, the fact that he's been out so long with the knee sprain.
That was such a bad injury, too. Oh, that Pachulia fall? And you saw his knee?
Whoa. Yeah, he did.
That was bad. Anyways, I think that's where we'll kind of leave the show there. Oh, wait, you didn't make the decision it was going to be the Cavs. So you're 100% rolling with the Cavs.
I mean, I'm not betting against LeBron yet, so I gotta say yes. Now,
choose LeBron, you don't choose the Cavs, you choose LeBron.
When Golden State's raising the O'Brien Trophy, I know why, you know, and it sucks because KD, you know, tucked his tail and ran to go join the team that they had down 3-1, but whatever.
I'm just saying, Kirk. I mean, they had the Cavs down 3-1. I mean, they should have won that series. Draymond shouldn't have been suspended.
Yes, he should have. He earned it.
I'm just kidding. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Hey, the devil don't need no advocate. He's the damn devil. Have you ever heard of a team that they're competing against recruiting another guy all year? That's like that's the wackest thing I've ever heard, dude.
Hey, that's the league we get to watch it's not the league. I mean, you're hearing LeBron James saying, "I want a point guard. Get me a point guard."
That's not the same as texting an opponent all year long saying, "Come over and play with us." That's a whole different ball game.
I don't know. I still think he made the wrong decision though, because like you said, they were up 3-1, and then you added Victor Oladipo as your two. You could have Roberson there, whatever you wanted to throw there. You have Cantor, you have Gibson now. I mean, I just think that you could have had something special. But that's our time here, James. I loved having you on the show. This was definitely fun. Definitely have to do it again. Where can the fans find you online, and can you tell them a little bit about what you do here for the Almighty Baller Podcasting Network?
Well, fans out there, you can find me at Now, I write for B-Ball Breakdown. I do another podcast for Press Basketball, the Weight Team. And, of course, you know, I do the Truth Podcast, Celtics Podcast, here for the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. So you can find me at the Truth, B-Ball Breakdown. If you want to hear some more talk from me, you can find me over at Press Basketball. And on Twitter, at Snotty Drippin. It's, you know, imagine Scotty Pippen and just replace some letters and you got Snotty Drippin.
Follow him on Twitter. He's such a fun follower, at Snotty Drippin. The Truth Podcast, talking about Celtics, and you said the weights? What's the press pass one?
The away press basketball, the away team.
The weight team?
The away team. It's a terrible name. I've been telling them the name's horrible. Why would you want to be the away team? No, the away team never has the advantage.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is your guys' like logo a black jersey? I mean, I just have to ask.
I'm gonna tell them that, because I make fun of the show on the show, and they tell me to stop.
Oh, man. Follow him on Twitter. Follow myself as well, at VM Center. Be sure to follow the show at SKN Articles. That's also the site for SatKingsNation.com. And we're going to leave the show with something a little bit fun, because he promised it at the beginning. James, the karaoke stage is yours.
Oh, what are we singing?
The song you were doing the noise in the beginning of the show an hour ago.
I'm not doing that, man. No.
You already said you can't tease the fans like that and then not give the people what they want.
I could tell the fan to tease these nuts. Go ahead, beep that out.
Don't make me throw the Jalen Rose soundboard on here.
Got to get the people.
Get the people.
Get the people. What they want.
Hey there, that's a little karaoke. We'll take it. You guys, again, follow him at Snotty Drippin. Check him out on all of his podcasting and writing platforms. Again, I am at VM Center, aka Vince Miracle. You'll be hearing me and my co-host, the great and wonderful Joe Morgan, coming here next week. Our shows will now be broadcasting on Tuesdays because of the big news that we have coming up moving forward. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye bye.
Promote the hell out of this shit. Ha ha ha.